The indoctrination of children. That is the topic we'll discuss today right here on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. It's been said that you will alter the future if you influence the young. In looking at some recent news stories, perhaps the better phrase is, if not if you influence the young, but if you indoctrinate the young, that's a more apt description. So consider these recent news stories. There's a 16-year-old Swedish climate activist named Greta Thunberg. She just recently gave a, well, what could be described as a lecture to the adults at the UN climate panel about the urgent need to act on global warming. School children recently are being allowed to skip class, to leave school to take part in climate change protests. Public libraries, I'm sure you've heard about this, have a concerted effort all over the country to invite drag queens. Those are men dressing up as, typically men dressing up as in these, you know, outrageous female outfits, to come into libraries and other places to read stories to children. And then right here in Minnesota, we'll get into a story today about a Twin Cities area school district and their hiring of a, quote, equity director to eliminate, quote, white privilege and Christian privilege and actually integrate Islam into the district. So we're going to discuss all these efforts today on the Christian Worldview to indoctrinate the hearts and minds of children and what Christian parents must be informed about and what they must do so they aren't taken captive by this indoctrination effort taking place. Have you noticed how children are being used to advance globalist socialist causes? And it's very effective because children are seen as innocent. They're seen as, they're not jaded. They're not old enough to be jaded by life. They're seen as, you know, not being bought like some politicians, that children are untouchable from criticism. After all, this is just a schoolboy or a schoolgirl saying these things. They're seen as speaking truth to power, and they're lauded as being, oh, they're living beyond their years for taking up an adult-like cause. But the fact is, what is taking place in all these different stories is that children are being used by adults who are God rejectors to advance humanist globalist causes. And the pattern is always the same. There's some incident, there's some perceived threat, and the adults try to do it themselves, but they can't get movement on it because there's pushback. So instead of trying to, you know, you get it through public voting or elections and so forth, they, and instead of dealing with maybe the perpetrator of the incident, I'll give an example of that in a second, or responding in proportion to the incident, they try to take massive leftist policy changes to be advanced to achieve their globalist humanistic ends. So a good example of this was the shooting in Parkland, Florida high school, and how right after that, David Hogg and others formed this student alliance against for gun control. And of course, they aren't really the ones doing it. They don't have the financial resources and the organizational ability besides social media to do this. They have, you know, all kinds of people behind the scenes helping them, but they're the faces of it, again, for the reason that, you know, children are seen as untouchable and they're speaking truth to power and listen to the young people. They're our future. They know better than we do, adults. And so instead of dealing with the perpetrator of that incident down in Florida or other places, there's a massive overreach in trying to get the great objective of the left to take away guns from people in America, to take away the Second Amendment. There's one example. But the issue of climate change has become a very useful issue to enlist the help of children to achieve their globalist ends. The USA Today wrote this: tens of thousands of high school students in cities nationwide plan to skip classes on Friday. This was, I think, a Friday or two ago, to attend global climate strike marches calling for immediate action to end climate change. They will be part of a global joint protest aimed directly at the adults who they say are ignoring the destruction of the planet. Quote, we have to treat climate change as what it is, an emergency, said Audrey Marine, an 18-year-old who's been one of the coordinators of the Boston school strike in March. The events come on out of a groundswell of, quote, worry on the part of young people about the future of the planet. Where are they getting worried about the future of the planet? We'll get to that in a second. Students in more than 800 locations around the U.S. plan to go on strike from school for the day to attend protests. So they're being allowed to skip school to go protest climate change. Quote, it's going to be a really, really powerful day, the launch of a new era of climate movement. This is just the beginning of us, for us, said Katie Eder, 19, who is the executive director of the Future Coalition, a youth-led nonprofit helping the groups coordinate. Now, it may be youth-led, but again, kids don't have money, and these things take boatloads of money. And so there has to be a funding source behind all of these of adults and political action groups and committees, leftist ones. Swedish activist, climate activist Greta Thunberg, 16 years old, we'll get into her in a minute, put a face on the global movement beginning in August 2018 when she began skipping school on Fridays to stand outside the Swedish parliament holding a sign protesting inaction on climate change. She came to New York on a solar-powered sailboat to attend the strike in New York City and then the summit. The movement is not led by her, but a broad group of young people who say they are frightened for their futures and angry that adults have done so little. Unlike the Vietnam War protests, which are mostly college students, the organizers of these events are mostly high school and even some middle school students. Last paragraph. Quote, I want to emphasize that our entire organizing team is under 20. Young people and students have been really leading this, Lynn said. She and four other teens were on a press call Wednesday describing the work they're doing and why it's important. The young people said they want politicians to act as if the world's on fire and begin curbing carbon emissions and taking the fight against global warming seriously. So here's an audio montage of the kinds of things that were being said by children at these climate marches when they skip school.
Adults keep saying, we owe it to the young people to give them hope. But I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic.
We have been polluting the earth for years, and we might actually die in a few years.
Our world is already in flames. It's getting hotter. We can't breathe.
We are here because our parents trashed the planet, and it's up to our generation to save it.
And like so many people my age, I feel really visceral anxiety about climate change.
Call us Generation Z, the last letter of the alphabet, because we are going to be the last generation to survive.
My conscience couldn't handle the idea of bringing someone into a dying world.
I'm angry because this planet is dying, and the president of the biggest country in the world refuses to acknowledge that.
And I'm sick of the future that they've given us. Carry on.
Here for the people who are suffering and dying because of our country's decision.
People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing.
Our oceans are choking with trash, and the sixth mass extinction is well underway.
We do not have time to be polite. This is a revolution.
It doesn't matter how much we're taxed if we don't have an earth to live on.
We need to do more instead of having a corrupt president who won't acknowledge that the earth is literally dying.
This is environmental racism, and we must acknowledge the issue.
We need to listen to our children because they totally get it.
Because every day of inaction drives more action from us!
I hope you were listening closely to that. And the complete hysteria and indoctrination of children that's taking place over this issue of global warming. That is just incredibly tragic and sad that their minds have been so indoctrinated to that point to create this panic. The world's coming to an end. We're choking. But you notice some of them talked about really what's behind this. This is a revolution. This is about environmental and racial justice. It's all part of the same stew of this social justice, environmentalism, racial justice, gender justice. the LGBTQ movement, all these issues go right together in the same globalist, humanist, God-rejecting worldview. So a couple times in that soundbite, that montage there, you heard the voice of a young girl, the 16-year-old girl named Greta Thunberg. And she gave a TED Talk recently, and as she's described as being a Swedish climate activist by the TED Talk website. She started these school strikes. She's the one who initiated this the climate outside the Swedish parliament, and now involves over 100,000 school children around the world. The movement is now called Fridays for Future. She has spoken at climate rallies in Stockholm, Helsinki, Brussels, and London. In December, she attended the UN Climate Conference in Poland, where she addressed the Secretary General and made a plenary speech that went viral and has been shared many million times around the globe. This year, in January 2019, she was invited to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where her speeches again made a worldwide impact. This is a 16-year-old schoolgirl from Sweden. Thunberg tries to live a low-carbon life. Therefore, she is vegan and she doesn't fly. She has been named as one of the world's most influential teens by Time magazine. So recently, she was just in the United States speaking to some UN climate panel. And here's what she had to say. Just notice the tone in the content of what she's saying.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Applause and praise from around the world for these hysterical, false statements she's making. I mean, where does she get her information? She gets her information, she says, if I had time to play there a soundbite, she started hearing it from teachers. When she was 8 years old, they were watching films, probably Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth and so forth, which is a completely untruthful movie. All these major predictions of the world coming to an end, he made, 15 years ago now? Nothing happened. Okay, so back in the Old Testament, if a prophet made a wrong prediction about the future, they were completely discredited and even killed. I'm not saying Al Gore should be killed, but the point is, if you don't make sound predictions, you should be completely discredited and disqualified. So she's basing her whole worldview on what her teachers told her in when she was 8 years old. She's just repeating the same old climate lies that man is the cause of climate change and there's changing weather. And look at that hurricane and all these catastrophic and these predictions that are going to take place. Christians should be for stewardship of the earth that leads people to healthier lives. And that's what this country largely has done. Because of the innovation of America and the market system, we can live a cleaner life. We can afford to have a cleaner environment. But Greta Thunberg, she's a useful tool for globalism where man controls this utopian world. We have much more coming up today in the Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton.
There's an abundance of resources available in Christian bookstores and online, but the sad reality is that many of them, even some of the most popular, do not lead to a sound and strong faith. A key aim of the Christian Worldview is to identify and offer resources that are biblically faithful and deepen your walk with God. In our online store, we have a wide range of resources for all ages, adult and children's books and DVDs, Bibles and devotionals, unique gifts, and more. So browse our store at thechristianworldview.org and find enriching resources for yourself, family, friends, small group, or church. You can also order by calling our office toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Social justice is a gospel issue. This has become the mantra of many evangelicals. Rectifying perceived inequities of race, gender, sexuality, poverty, immigration, amongst others, is considered a top priority. But what exactly is social justice? Is working for social justice a biblical mandate, an application of the gospel? Kel Beissner has written an insightful booklet entitled Social Justice: How Good Intentions Undermine Justice and Gospel. Also included in this revised 44-page booklet is a copy of the just-released Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. You can order the Social Justice booklet for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for joining us today on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton, the host. Our topic today is the indoctrination of children. I don't mean the Christian indoctrination of children. That's a completely different thing. In other words, kids are going to be influenced by a worldview. Yeah, it could be Christian. It could be a humanist worldview. Kids need to be, quote unquote, indoctrinated, put doctrine into them, as long as it's truthful things, not according to useful causes of globalist, humanist, and God rejectors. And that's what we're seeing today, whether it's in climate change, as we talked about in the first segment, or what's going on in a school district right here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, just on the southwest suburbs of Minneapolis. I'm going to start an interview with a man named Don Huizinga. He is a taxpayer from the county, Carver County, and has gotten involved in this particular issue taking place right here in the Twin Cities in the upper Midwest. Let's get to the first segment of the interview, and the issue will be explained as well. Don, let me just briefly describe the situation that has taken place in the East Carver County School District. Carver County is a county just on the southwest portion of the metro area of Minneapolis and St. Paul, so it is a suburban county, a little bit of rural as you get more in the western side of it. They have instituted what they call an equity program after there were allegedly some racial incidents in the school. We'll get into that. They hired an equity consultant, I guess you could call him. His name is Dr. Muhammad Khalifa. He is a professor at the University of Minnesota. He has an equity program that he tries to implement into the public school systems and elsewhere. A survey was also given to parents and students. And so those are just some of the big bullet points. Let's dig down into some of the details that have taken place here. How did Dr. Muhammad Khalifa get hired with his equity program by the Eastern Carver County School District with a resume and the views that he has? And I just want to read some of those views from a document that I was sent about the situation in East Carver schools. He's written reports, and I have those in front of me here, about how to introduce equity. For instance, his paper on Islamophobia and Christian Privilege, What Educators Must Know. He recommends critiquing teachers based on their treatment of students of varying skin culture or color. In other writings, he recommends counseling out teachers who don't comply with his program. In a paper titled Islamophobia and Christian Privilege, which I just referred to, Dr. Muhammad Khalifa gives us a blueprint of how to get Islam into your school. He talks of equity and equity audits and cultural responsibility. He emphasizes terms like white privilege and Christian privilege, obvious tools of shame. In other writings, he makes it clear he wants to change our westernized, Eurocentric, colonized, white, capitalist, those are in quotes, educational system into one that mirrors East Africa, or as he calls it, indigenized. I think this document is put out by the Child Protection League. Correct me if I'm wrong, Don. How did someone like this get hired by the East Carver County schools in Minnesota with a resume like he has and views like he has?
The basic answer to that is that the assistant superintendent of the district, Amy Ledoux, actually attended Dr. Khalifa's academy as a part of her education at the University of Minnesota and recommended Dr. Khalifa to the board. The board didn't do any research into his background, and they just took the word of Amy Ledoux.
These racial incidents that were alleged, what were they? Was he hired after them or before them? What took place that led to this hiring?
Well, if you look at the contract, it's clear that he was hired before what they considered the two major racial incidents that happened at Chaska High School. So we believe that the equity program is something that the school district was going to implement, and that the racial incidents were actually used as an excuse to the parents, kind of guilt them into thinking that the equity program was being implemented as a function of and as a result of the racial incident, when just the opposite actually happened.
Don Huizenga with us today in the Christian Realview. He is a taxpayer in Carver County, the county in Twin Cities metro area we're talking about today. I want to read just a couple of paragraphs about this survey that was done. We have, again, I believe this is from the Child Protection League. We have Facebook posts of Sharif El-Abadi, the man who works for Dr. Khalifa and who sent out the surveys to you and your children. He came to your school board, referring to the parents in Carver County, in May, and was introduced as Sharif El-Abadi and quickly changed his name to Abu Maryam on social media after he was outed by a conservative group. He was also dropped as COO of Khalifa's Institute, but continues to work with Khalifa. He clearly states on Facebook that he is an anti-Semite and that he targets groups he doesn't agree with. Who is Sharif El-Abadi, and what was this survey instituted in the school district?
I know there was over 100 questions sent to both the students and the parents and teachers and administrators in the district. It asked students how they felt about the treatment, education, and overall educational climate of minority students in the district. So the survey was completed anecdotally, was emotion-based and speculative. Yet this is the criteria the district will use to determine tangible policy in the district. It contained questions such as, do you feel minority students are called upon at the same rate as white students in the classroom? Or do you think that the teachers teach in the same way to black students as they do to white students? One of the concerns that we had was that obviously the parents aren't in the classroom, and so how could they make any determination as to how teachers are actually teaching kids inside the classroom? So these are, again, really anecdotal questions, and we don't know how the parents can actually answer them correctly, but these are the surveys that we're going to determine policy, actual tangible policy, in the district moving forward.
Don Huizenga with us today is a taxpayer in Carver County, Minnesota, has been engaged in this issue of the equity program being introduced or already has been introduced in the Carver County School District. You've mentioned this word equity several times. What is the difference between an equity program and the concept of equality?
Equity is the process of creating equal outcomes for students despite their capability. Equity assumes that people of color are inherently less academically capable. Equity is the byproduct of what we call deficit thinking. Equality, on the other hand, is the process of treating everyone equally despite their capability. In my opinion, equity is artificial. It really teaches students that they need someone to help them achieve an outcome. Now, this is a concept they'll learn to regret once out in the real world after high school, where outcome is not artificially elevated. Kind of creates a false expectation once in the real world.
I want to read a couple paragraphs from Dr. Muhammad Khalifa. Again, he's the equity professor that introduced this curriculum into the Carver County School District. And he has a man named Dr. Keith Brooks, who is the director hired by the district to implement this. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm getting any of these details wrong, Don. But in this paper from Dr. Muhammad Khalifa, he talks about understanding and confronting Muslim student marginalization. He says, bullet points, recognize that Islamophobia is one of the most widespread, rapidly growing, and tolerated types of oppression in school and society today. identify discourses and practices of Christian privilege and white privilege. Know that Christian privilege is not only having major Christian holidays off, Sundays off, in Christian trappings in school. Rather, Christian privilege can encompass much more complex issues such as community versus individual epistemologies, approaches to learning, purpose of education, and even sources of what counts as knowledge. Skipping down to the next bullet heading, empowering Muslim student identities. It says complete annual equity audits. You already talked about that. Recognize that Islam is not a religion in the sense that Western Europeans separated faith from other aspects of life. Islam is a way of life. So accommodate, and I'm quoting here, accommodate aspect of Muslim life in school, including daily prayer spaces, prayer washing spaces, and Friday prayer spaces or fasting. Infuse curriculum and school activities with intellectual traditions that originate in the Muslim world. This doesn't seem like a be introduced to other religions. This, to me, seems like pretty close to evangelization of Islam in the public schools.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the issues that we had with Dr. Khalifa and Dr. Brooks going into this was that the district gives the appearance that this is something that's just meant to be used for minority students or students that are failing, but it actually doesn't help any of the students that are, for instance, failing white students. And so there was an aura built around the idea of equity. But because of the two people that are implementing the equity system into the district, we started looking into Dr. Khalifa's actual intent. And his intent in the public school system and what he preaches nationally is exactly what you just read. And so we don't know if the district actually does it intentionally or if they just accidentally hired this man not knowing what the intentions of Dr. Brooks and Dr. Khalifa are. But okay, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is actually the program that Dr. Khalifa wants to be implemented into the public school systems. And Eastern Carver County tries to deny it and say, we would never allow such a thing to happen. But this is the agenda of Dr. Khalifa.
Okay, now you spoke personally to Dr. Muhammad Khalifa. He actually called you on the phone. Are you at liberty to talk about what that conversation entailed? What was the substance of what he said to you? Okay, we'll hear what that conversation was about after this next break here on the Christian Worldview, talking with Don Huizinga about the Carver County, Minnesota Equity Program, further example of the indoctrination of children away from, quote, Christian privilege to... The prosperity gospel is a prominent false gospel that God offers health, wealth, and prosperity if you just have faith and give money. Kosti Hinn grew up on the inside of the prosperity gospel movement. His uncle is world-renowned prosperity preacher Benny Hinn. Kosti saw it all, the manipulation, staged healings, luxuriant lifestyles, and perversion of scripture, before God opened Kosti's eyes to understand sound doctrine and believe in the true gospel. Now a pastor, Kosti has written an important book entitled God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel, which chronicles his own experience and gracefully points the reader to the truth of Scripture. For a limited time, you can order this 224-page softcover book for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $17.99 without shipping. To order, call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly Email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
thechristianworldview.org is our website where you can go to subscribe to our free weekly email, annual print newsletter, and you can hear past programs, order resources, a whole fully developed store there with resources and print and audio and so forth that we vet that align with our mission to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Christ. And you can do all that at thechristianworldview.org. Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the indoctrination of children today. Lots of recent news stories are showing this, from the climate change skip school protests to Greta Thunberg and the drag queen story hour. And now we're talking about a situation in Minnesota here, right near where we are in Minnesota, in Carver County, which is in the Southwest Metro County, and how they're implementing this equity program, what's called an equity program, by a really, I think you could accurately describe him as a Muslim with very radical views that Islam is superior and needs to be integrated into the school district. And we're talking right now with Don Huizinga. He's a father of four, a grandfather of eight. He works in the construction industry. He's a taxpayer in the county. And he's been engaged in this pushback against this equity program that was instituted. And so let's finish the last part of the interview with Don Huizinga on the situation in East Carver County, Minnesota schools. You spoke personally to Dr. Muhammad Khalifa. He actually called you on the phone. Are you at liberty to talk about what that conversation entailed? What was the substance of what he said to you?
Yeah, absolutely. He just called me out of the blue one day, and he really admitted to me that he seeks to have accommodations made to practice Islam in the public schools. One of the things he said to me was, well, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't the public school system allow Muslims to practice Islam in the school system because their religion and their culture are tied together? And so if we don't allow them to practice their religion, we are in essence denying them the right to practice their culture, being that they're one and the same.
What does that mean, though, to practice a religion? I'm assuming the public schools would allow a child to pray over their lunch, to pray with another classmate in the hallway. What kind of allowances is he looking for?
Well, it's a collective and systemic practice of Islam, because that's what Islam actually requires. Christian students are allowed to practice their religion, prayers, for instance, out in the playground, each when they want and by themselves or with somebody. There's more freedom there because it's not intrusive. And Islam is just the opposite. It requires kind of a systemic day. It requires a place to pray. It requires the foot baths and it requires the fasting. But not even just those considerations. I mean, you know, those are bad enough, but to actually say, well, we want all of this Islamic and Muslim study and traditions to take place in the school systems too. We don't allow any of that from really any religion. And so he's really trying to interject a religion that he thinks is special and should have a special place in the public school system.
Yeah, this stems from the worldview of Islam, of those who are committed to it, that it is the superior religion. So therefore, why wouldn't it be practiced in school? This is the right way.
Absolutely. So
it should be imposed on everyone. A final question for you. We've been talking about a county school district just outside the Twin Cities, or actually bordering the Twin Cities metro area. Parents listening from all over the country might be saying, well, how is this relevant to me? What's going on in the East Carver County school district? What should parents know about this and what to look for in the areas where they live?
I think the major takeaway is that the public school system of America will no longer really honor our culture of meritocracy. Instead, it focuses on creating a population of people who are artificially equal in the private and public economy. Everyone will literally be the same. An A student will be competing for college entrance against a student who without equity would be a C student. I think that will have a negative impact on the A student and create artificial hope and expectations for the student who was handed the means to be equal in high school, but is now faced with the reality of having to perform in the private sector economy. But we should be teaching students is that they can be who they want to be despite the grades that they receive on the report cards. To me, these artificial indoctrinations will have long-term impacts on the quality of the American experience for students that will eventually become working citizens. The subversive and underlying feature, I think that's important for people to recognize, is that there is a cultural move in America for Muslims to take political power from school districts all the way up into Congress, city councils. There is an orchestrated and intensive desire to gain political power and cultural influence in this country. And these are just the beginnings. These are the seeds that are being planted. And they're being planted in school districts and city halls all across America right now.
Well, we have a representative republic. And so if people want their values and their worldview represented in government of those leaders and school boards and school districts, then they better vote people into those positions that have those kinds of values that represent them. Otherwise, the other side, who has non-traditional American values, are going to get in there and impose their worldview. But Don, we appreciate your involvement in this as just a grassroots person, a taxpayer from Carver County, got involved in this, saw what was going on. You're a concerned citizen. We appreciate your coming on the Christian Worldview today, and we'll look forward to seeing how this turns out.
I appreciate it, David. Thank you for having me.
Again, Don Huizenga joins us today on the Christian Worldview, talking about the situation in East Carver County, Minnesota, right outside the Twin Cities, the school district there. Now, you can find out more about this situation, especially for our Minneapolis, St. Paul listeners. We have a video, 8 or 9 minute video linked right on the homepage of our website, where you can find out more detail about this at thechristianworldview.org. Again, the same pattern, incidents, over-respond to them in order to inject this new leftist globalist worldview based on social justice into the public schools. Now, we were told we're to be panicked and worried about the future of the earth and so forth. Well, I don't think Christians should panic or worry about anything, but you as parents should be very concerned about the panoply of issues, whether it's environmentalism, drag queen hour, equity programs in school to try to dismantle, quote, Christian or white privilege. You should be very concerned about those things, not just for the overarching, culture in America. You should be worried about them, or concerned about them is a better word, about what they're doing to the worldview of your own child. And I'm not saying that you need to pull your kids out of the school and you need to separate them or isolate them, but you better be teaching them daily and regularly at home. And as you go, as it says in Deuteronomy 6, on the way, when you wake up, when you sit down, you better be teaching them the word of God, because it's the only thing that's going to truthfully offset the abundance of lies that are being taught to indoctrinated into children today. Now, I want to play the other side of this. There's a news report that came out. There's been many news reports on this in the Twin Cities, but I want to play what a local television station reported on this situation that purportedly led to this equity program being instituted in the school district. Here's from a local television station in Minneapolis.
These are posters Chaska parents say administrators didn't allow students to hang inside the high school during Black History Month. A poster with an image of Malcolm X, another displaying a photo of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old whose murder propelled the civil rights movement of the 60s. The image next to it, a 12-year-old boy killed by police.
Their history can't be censored, and that they should feel okay and empowered to be able to showcase whoever they want.
Parent Tanya Blackstone Coleman's daughter helped create these posters. Coleman said she asked the district superintendent, high school principal, and equity coordinator why the posters were banned. The response?
They had to meet the community where they are, was her exact words. They have to be careful about the message that they put up in their building, that the comfort level of the majority of the community was more of a consideration in this situation than the ability or the consideration for the minority African-American part of the community to be able to celebrate their history.
But to understand this parent's hurt, you must look back at the patterns of blatant racism in the school district. In December, we spoke with a family who said their son's gym shirt was stolen from his locker and returned with the N-word written on it. Last month, some Chaska students were accused of wearing blackface, taunting other black students on social media. And in 2018, the district made national headlines after students at a Chaska High School football game were accused of wearing blackface.
My son was punched in the face and told he doesn't belong. My six-year-old baby had to let this little boy punch him in the face and not hit him back because I had to start teaching him at three that they would punish him differently. How dare you sit up here and give me messages of how you care?
Okay, so it's very difficult in society today, whether it's children who are in full panic mode screaming at adults, or crying women. The two most perceived vulnerable people in society, two groups, women and children. When it gets like this, it's very difficult for people to cognitively say, I understand what you're saying, I hear you, but what you're saying, we need to find out whether these incidents actually took place, because you've heard of all the hoaxes that take place. They need to be investigated. And secondly, are we responding in proportion? In other words, why are they trying to implement a program like this that is leftist throughout the whole district? If these incidents did happen, why not deal with the students who did them, just them, instead of take the opportunity to influence and integrate this into the whole district? Well, the bigger purpose is that's what they want to do. We'll come back. We have much more today on the Christian Real View. I'm David Wheaton. Environmental scaremongering is the favored tactic of the left to gain massive government control. After all, if you can convince people that we are imperiling our very existence by human-caused climate change, there is no tax, law, or reordering of society that goes too far. Christians need to be fully informed of this nefarious climate change scheme. That is why we are offering two resources by Cal Beisner, founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, who brings a truthful, biblical worldview to this issue. Climate Change in the Christian is an 80-minute DVD message, and The Cosmic Consequences of Christ's Crosswork is a 15-page booklet. One or both are available for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
Final segment of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program as we talk about the indoctrination of children taking place in this country and around the world. Thanks for joining us today. I was just thinking in response to the equity program, and that news report we just heard from a local television station, that they were trying to put up these posters, one with by Black Lives Matter, promoting Black Lives Matter, another one, Malcolm X. Black Lives Matter is a radically leftist organization. I could read some of the things they have on their own website. We are expansive. We are a collective of liberators who believe in an inclusive and spacious movement. We affirm the lives of Black, queer, and trans folks, disabled folks, undocumented folks, folks with records and criminals, women, and all Black lives along the gender spectrum. I mean, this is a radically leftist organization. And Malcolm X, he was a radical religious leftist Muslim. And they're trying to put up posters, and the school district said, yeah, you know, I'm not sure those are, those probably don't, the majority of our population wouldn't be along with that. Well, my question is, if they're going to put up those posters, do you think the school district could be okay with putting up some Christian posters celebrating the Christian history of America? Maybe a poster of Jonathan Edwards from the past and his influence on this country or other Christian leaders and how they've impacted the worldview of this country? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So this whole news reporting that there's racism and everything else in the school, they're putting up radical literature trying to indoctrinate the minds of children, trying to normalize these people like Malcolm X and so forth, as if they're just regular people that should be celebrated when they're not. They have a non-biblical, non-traditionally American worldview. And this is where the battle is being taken place in this country. Now, President Trump this week spoke to the United Nations. And also he gave a message on to the United Nations on religious liberty. And he also, after this, he's going through this new launch of investigations into whether he should be impeached. There's big call for impeachment now because he spoke to the president of Ukraine about congratulating him for winning the election in Ukraine. And the issue of Joe Biden came up, and President Trump encouraged him to look into corruption allegations against Joe Biden and his son Hunter in Ukraine. Now, hopefully we'll have time to get to that transcript in a second, but I want to get back to what he said to the UN. He talked about the fact that he's a big believer in America. I mean, he's, quote, a patriotic American. He believes in nationalism, individual entities of national countries around the world. So he said this to the United Nations.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique.
You see, unfortunately, I think President is wrong there. I don't think, according to what Scripture says in Revelation, that the future does belong to nationalists, those who believe in individual entities of nations around the world. The future will get to globalism with a one world leader and, you know, regional leadership and a globalistic authority structure in this world. But that's the battle right there in the secular realm of the world right now. That this is the battle, basically, between those who want a globalist world for the future, a utopian world where they can achieve, quote, equity and social justice. And there's the stew. There are the issues they use. It's like a stew, a social justice stew. Climate change, man-caused climate change, have to take away the Second Amendment, gun control. You have to dismantle Christian, male, white privilege in the world. You have to create equity for oppressed groups like the homosexuals and transgenders. You have to have a woman's right to health care and abortion, women's liberation. So all those things go into this stew of social justice to achieve this globalistic setup, makeup for the world in the future. And Trump gets it. He sees it as saying, that's what I'm against. I'm for American exceptionalism, nationalism, and so forth, which Christians should be for, by the way, too. The Bible talks very specifically. The Tower of Babel is the perfect example of why God did not want the nations and peoples of the world to be one. You read that in Genesis, the book of Genesis, how God separated the nations. He knew when man got together with under one language, one purpose, that all they would do in their mind would try to replace God with themselves. And so Trump sees that, but I don't believe he's right as to where things are going. But all these indoctrination of children issues are all about pushing towards these globalist, humanist, God-rejecting policies to get to globalism. Now, of course, he's involved in this. It's going to be a long, drawn out. This is the latest. You know, there was the Russia collusion accusations that went on for 2 years and found to be nothing there. Okay, that's whatever attempt the left can use to try to impeach this president, because again, he's not a globalist, he's a nationalist, and the left are globalists. So they can't stand having a nationalist, someone who believes in an exceptional America, nationalism, in power. So whatever they can use, whatever they can find to be able to discredit him, dismantle him, and remove him from office, they're going to do. So there was the Russia collusion thing that he won the election based on colluding with Vladimir Putin. And now since that didn't work, now the pivots to a phone call that he had with the president of Ukraine. I'm just going to read the three or four sentences in the actual conversation that took place. I have the transcript here of the conversation with President Zelensky of Ukraine. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can go search for it yourself on the phone. But here's the pertinent part that is being seen as there was a quid pro quo. In other words, we're not going to give you military and financial aid unless you investigate my possible political opponent, Joe Biden, in the next election. He said, the former ambassador from the United States, the woman, there was some former ambassador, was bad news, and the people she was dealing with in the Ukraine were bad news. So I just want to let you know that. The other thing, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, Hunter Biden, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution, so if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. That's what they're trying to impeach the president for? I mean, the same thing that the Democrats do with Trump in trying to accuse him of colluding with Russia, trying to take him down by getting these phony reports and having foreign governments look into this? I mean, that's what's being ginned up for this impeachment inquiry that's taking place right now. But there's many more months that this is going to drag on, because the election's next year, and this will have to be used to try to weaken the president's position. Well, we have a lot to work to do as Christians. We better take very seriously, with all this indoctrination of children, what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's to be correction for negative behavior and teaching of positive behavior according to the truth of Scripture. Thank you for joining us today. You can hear the program again at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Until next weekend, think biblically and live accordingly.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, His Word, and His Son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233 or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.